People weren't doing that to me. I did that to me. Now, where was I going with that thought? Let's go back to iron, so our sharpens iron. We'll catch it back up there. There you go. There is, let me go back to that and then maybe we'll catch where I was going with that. We doing okay with this? All right. So this thing of iron sharpens iron, we have to trust the process of God, submit to His Word, and know that as we do this, God, I remember years ago in marriage counseling, we showed a triangle and we showed how that man and woman, husband and wife, if they're both seeking God together, if they're seeking God together, you can't help but be drawn closer as you're looking towards Him. And I thought that was a beautiful, that may be cliche to some, but a beautiful example of that. Iron sharpens iron. You know, in a local body, the ability to say, Lord, that person's a tough person to be around. It seems like every time I'm around them, they say something, and half the time, some people don't even know what they said. But they just, maybe where they grew up, or maybe how they grew up, or maybe they just didn't learn certain things, and they can just say the dumbest things at the wrong time. I mean, I've had my wife go home from right here in this church. And I catch her crying, what happened, honey? You wouldn't believe what so-and-so said. I said, honey, I know them better than that. They would never mean that. Yes, but it just came at the wrong time. How many have ever been there? And the natural response to that is to back up, wall off, go into survival mode, and there's no flow and freedom there. There's no rooting. How many are glad that we can overcome this stuff? Yes. That we can love the unlovable. And we can also realize that this plays out no matter what church you're in, no matter what body you're going to. I remember years ago a church that Jackie and I helped another good friend of mine start in Florida. There was this couple that had been coming there for 3 or 4 months. And one day we were eating out, and this person said to Pastor Kenny's wife, Betsy, who is the sweetest thing you ever met in your life, said, it is so awesome to finally get to meet with you. You're not anything like what we've heard. A compliment was devastating. The label over our church is such a simple name, it probably almost seems silly to some people. Chino Valley Family Church. But I believe in that. And I mean that within the context of what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to make something out of our name, but Paul says, for this cause, Ephesians, do you remember that? For this cause, Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, even with that I'm not done yet, heaven and earth is named. How many are glad that we can sow seeds of love by faith to those that are unlovable and watch as God does a work in their lives? And in the process, we might find out that it wasn't all them. I said, in the process, we might find out. It's like Proverbs says, those that desire friends must make themselves friendly. And many times our own insecurities. You ever met somebody that you thought was just rude? And found out later they just were extremely shy. It's funny how we still make that mistake. We need to cut each other some slack. We're a family. This is the body of Christ. You can tell where roots are by what's coming out of your mouth. You can tell where roots are by activity. Not just alone in your own life in Jesus, but in a church body. I'm not saying that you have to be a preacher or a teacher or an usher or whatever, but I believe that if you plant roots, it's reflected in your activity in some level or some way. I mean, there are people here. We have such a great group of people and team, and I believe that the Lord will add to it. But there are people here that just because their job is to do something else, if they see another mess over here, they deal with it. Because it's not my job slot and I'm using this to get to another level. This is my home. This is my body. I believe in this. And so if I see a problem, I'm not going to wait till an usher or a Sunday school teacher does it. This is my house. Now, I'm not going back to the house of God as holy. I hate that. So I refuse to do a building fund. If God wants this thing to bust out then in that way, then He'll provide. Maybe that's wrong thinking and God can correct me in the future, but right now the last thing I want is a stinking building fund. Can you say amen? I'm going to let you be aware of some needs we have over on the other side and give you an opportunity to be a part of that, but you'll never have this stuff going on. All right? So there's nothing wrong with that. I've had people get mad at me. You don't tell us enough, so I'm going to tell you. All right? But are you following me? Your activity. The third area that you know roots are being planted is, Jesus says, where your heart is, there will your treasure. Now, this is very dangerous because this can be wielded by a pastor to manipulate people to give towards his dream. So we use people to build my dream. And that's what happens a lot. I hate it. But if this is your home and you are receiving and you're growing and you're being challenged, then how many know we have an obligation to say, hey, this shouldn't be us four no more. We ought to be able to make a difference to more. And we venture out on a very difficult journey, always fighting a ditch on one side or the other. But we can't be afraid of ditches to the extent that we can't begin to build a road with our mouth, with our activity, with our giving, with our prayer, moving in a direction. Here's what the Bible says. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Maybe right now the last thing you want is involvement. You've been burnt, you've been this, you were relegated in another church to nursery hell and didn't get out of there for 20 years, and you're whatever, okay? Maybe right now the biggest thing you need is just to be faithful and be under the Word. Find out what's going on and get hooked up and begin to pray. Do whatever that may look like. I'm not stating that right now, but what I am saying is, there is a blessing for those that allow the Holy Spirit to cause them to grow roots somewhere in a church that will never be perfect, with leaders that will never be perfect. Grow roots. The only reason I'd make a difference, the only reason I'd make a change is if I hear them preaching something that I can't find in the Word and making me believe it. Now, you're going to hear me say things from time to time that you may not agree with. But you'll never hear me pound you over the head. I'm going to tell you, if you don't like what you heard, shelve it. Take it to the Lord. In fact, I tell you all the time, don't you ever believe anything Bubba says because Bubba said it. And you always have the right to question. Where there are no questions allowed is the making of a cult-like entity. Now, that doesn't mean that you can email me all your questions and demand that I answer them all. Would you believe I've had people leave this church angry because I didn't answer all their email questions in reference to grace? Good people, I love them. I love them still. But my God, can you imagine? That's Bible study mentality, not a church body. When I say question, I mean you have every right to say, well, Pastor Lee, we love you. This is our home. This is our church. We're growing. But that was a little bit over the edge for me. I'm going to have to reserve that. And check this out with the Word of God and my own study and listen to the Holy Spirit. You know what? If I found out you did that, I'd be like, yes, I'm doing it right. We're in another jam there because ministers have abused their authority, we take those who the Bible says are worthy of double honor. We're going to get into this over the next few weeks. Because of this, we say, they're no different than we are. They put their pants on just like we. You want to know something? We absolutely are. But where there is a separation is where the Word of God, under the anointing of pastor, teacher, whatever it is, not just me, but others, where that's come out, we got people who share in Bible studies, who are anointed people of God through the week, different times and settings. How many know those that teach the Word of God? There's something very powerful and very intimate about that thing. How many in here, your life was changed with a single revelation through the Word of God that was uttered under the anointing? Come on. Are you in here? And yet it's always, and so often, to because of today's time, it's somebody that's not a part of this group, but it's somebody on TV because we've kind of lost grasp of what body is. And this is the same kind of thing that ruins marriages. Once we see faults in a mate that we're in a covenant with and we see every day, we can either work on that and get through this thing, or we can say, irreconcilable differences, it's over, I must have made a mistake. How many know that if we trust God, we can get through it and take our marriage to higher levels? It's no different. Did I lose you? This is some pretty deep stuff for Sunday morning, but this is where we're at. I want you to look at what this verse says. Roots. Can everybody say roots? Okay. Drifting again like an old. Those that be planted. Look at your Bible. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Seems like every time that we look at this great love of the Father, I find it interesting that the first man and woman had a garden. Can you say garden this morning? Had a garden prepared for them. Now, God's had to renew my mind about gardens because I grew up with a dad who didn't know what a garden was. He had truck farms. And us boys worked in his truck farms. I hated gardens. It represented a whole lot of work. You know, when you're young, you don't realize how special that is to grow up eating all that fresh food. Probably has a lot to do with our health today, all of us boys. But then all we knew was is that. But listen, I had to renew my mind about a garden. Can you imagine the Garden of Eden? Made for a man and a woman. The beginning. Sin interrupted that whole process. Jesus, according to Romans 5, changed that. Death entered the world through the first Adam. But the second Adam got it right. There was no longer a covenant. We'll deal with this when we get to grace. There was no longer a covenant between God and man. But there was a covenant between God and His Son in our place. That lasts forever. Isaiah 54 says, a covenant of kindness I will establish with you that will be forever. How many are glad for that kind of love? And we live in that now because of Jesus. A garden. You ever been to somebody's house that really knows how to garden? It's a beautiful sight. Cleaned up and growing and producing. I mean, everything. Every time the Word of God speaks of His blessing in our lives, Psalms 1 that you hear me quote over it. I hope you can quote it with me by now. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This one shall be like a tree. Oh, man. Everywhere we see these, and there's many other scriptures. A garden. Today, turn with me to 2 Peter, and I've got to wrap this up. Like I said, I didn't even get into my start, but I got where I needed to get. 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power, I'm going to start reading for time's sake, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You may not be aware of it yet, but if you hang around here, you're going to find out that you don't need to, as a believer, reach for something you don't have. But you need to become aware of, through the renewing of your mind, of what is already in you because of the new birth. And now it's an issue of getting knowledge and releasing what is already on the inside of you. That's what the gospel really does. Look at this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. Everything that you need to live life to its fullest has already been given to you through the knowledge, look at what it says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us. How many called ones we got in the house this morning? Come on, all over the house. Everything you need. So you better find out what's in you. That's why we're here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can you say with me, great and exceeding precious promises? Come on, are you here today? Great and exceeding precious promises. These are seeds. Everything you need. When Adam and Eve were put in the garden, everything they needed had been already provided. All they had to do was partake. Now sin came in and interrupted this process. From the beginning, even in the garden, God said the world would function under a law called seed, time, and harvest. If you look at your life right now, thank God there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But how many can look at your life / garden and say, this doesn't look exactly the way that I want it to look? There's some areas over here, the squash look pretty good, but man, the strawberries have gotten out of whack. The corn needs weeded. We need to pull some suckers off that, or we're going to hurt the main ones that are stalks that are growing. How many know what I'm talking about? It's okay if you don't. You can look it up on Google. Okay, so anyway, there are some things in here. Do you know that you have the ability, the choice through God to change the look of your garden? That the process that God instituted a long time ago of seed, time, and harvest still works? Even if you abandon it, you still, if you trust him, he'll give you seed and you can start today, and it makes all the difference in life. I said it makes all the difference in life. Seed time and harvest. Back to Psalms 92. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. Don't look around right now when we read the next part of that, but it says we'll still bring forth fruit in old age. Hey, that's good news, Darlene. I'm not supposed to do this. Darlene's teaching a healing course through a video thing on Sunday nights. How old are you? How old are you? That's not what I'm supposed to do, but I'm doing it. 81 years of age. 81. Fruitful. Young in our old age. Planted. God looks at us. He sees so much in us. Now, I've got to tie this together because I've gone, again, way longer than I wanted to. Turn with me to a very well-known verse of Scripture. I'm going to tie two together, and then we'll pick it up next week. I love this verse. One of the things that I struggle with, I was sitting with a guy yesterday, actually riding with him back from, we were branding cows out on the Barhart calves. And he's been in here a time or two and is making adjustments to be on a regular basis. And he was telling me, he said, one of the things that frustrates me is, he says, you can go to a church sometimes for a year or 2 years. And he said, hear everything about financial stewardship, marriage, raising kids, coping with anger, dealing with that, dealing with the other. And he said, very rarely hear the presentation of the gospel. It was shocking for me. Because I go to this church. I don't know if you figured that out, but I attend here on a regular basis. So I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure, you know, I don't know. And I also realize I'm only hearing one side of the story. Very sincere outflow from this cowboy. And he said, one of the things, the couple times that I've been there, he said, no matter what you're talking about, he said, I hear Jesus exalted and I leave encouraged, knowing that He is in me, and somehow, even though I can't tie it all together, there's reason to trust God for another day. If I'm doing that, if we as a body are doing that, we're doing our job. God is for you, not against you. And the church, the body, should be for you, not against you. And when somebody gets out of whack, that's not the time to kill them. That's the time to love by faith. Sow seed. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. How many are interested in a garden of your life that is flourishing? People look over the fence and they go, wow. And we go, here, have some. I got way more than I need. Way more than I need. God looked at a disastrous mess and it didn't intimidate Him at all. John 3:16. Hey, Son of Man, Son of God, Holy Ghost, we started this deal. We got a problem, but we also got a plan. For God, His answer was not to wipe us out and start all over again. His answer was to sow a seed. In the face of disaster, it looked like the devil had won. It would be the time for a sword or mighty tanks or nuclear bombs. What did He do? He sowed a seed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? If we didn't get anything else done this morning, I'm glad for Jesus today. For He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I don't have time for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tie this together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, if you have time to turn there, it's up to you. We'll look at it more extensively. It says this, be not deceived. God, Now, already some of you that have had been beat over the head in other situations, in other whatever, you already think, here it comes. You better find out, man, your dirtiness and your sin, your God's not going to be mocked. He's going to make sure you're found out and you're in trouble. There is a natural repercussion for actions. We're going to talk about that. There is a sowing and reaping. But what he's talking about right here is when you sow to the kingdom of God. I'm not even talking about money yet, so relax. We sow to the kingdom of God. It's a surefire thing. You can take that to the bank. God will not be mocked. He started it through the sending of His Son. All of this process has been given to us. It is the most powerful thing we have in our hands. The ability to have our mind renewed to how this kingdom process works. Be not deceived. I love the way that's stated. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Mark chapter 4. We'll probably look at that next week. A man who plants seed, night and day he awakes. Night and day he awakes. With great expectation. How many know we sow a harvest? How many know those of you that had a part in Zelko's ministry and the Zirkles and Damian and others? How many know that this is precious seed? You better believe there is a harvest coming. You better know that as we pray and as we add our prayer and as we imagine and believe with them and join our hearts that major things. Yes, I can't get it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That we're a part of what is going on there. And then bringing it right here at home. Flourishing. Did you get anything this morning out of this? I hope you did. I did. I'm excited about the kingdom principles. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. It talks about a man who sows bountifully and reaps bountifully. How many are ready in Jesus' name to begin to not be weary, but return to the kingdom principle? Are you here today? Some of you are still thinking money. I'm not even talking about money yet. I'm talking about words, actions, what our life is surrounded, what all this means. Our priorities? Stand with me together today. Can we just give all this to the Lord? Can we just give all this to Him today? Hallelujah, Lord. Father, this morning as your people stand, would you lift your hands all over the room today? I see a garden. Hallelujah, Jesus. Flourishing. Every time Reuben, he's another, I think he's 82, opens his mouth in our men's Bible study. Flourishing. Young people getting started. There's a way that seems right to a man. And then there is the way that God said, if you do this, trust the process. Honor me in it. I see a garden. How about you, Eileen? I see a garden that is flourishing. Color. Produce. Blessing. Basket. Come on all over the room this morning. Father, I thank you for a garden. I thank you that I flourish. Would you say it? I don't just get by. I flourish in the courts of our God. Come on, are you here today? Say it out loud like you mean it. I flourish in the courts of our God. I see a garden. Oh! Of produce. Of supplement. That helps the pain of past failures, of tragedies, of things that rocked my world. All the bitterness of the struggle that has tried to rule my future, the sweetness of the garden that is now growing before me, for seeds that were planted, some I sowed in tears, but the process still works. Seed, time, and harvest. Today I thank you, Lord. Come on, all over the room. I see a garden that is flourishing in the courts of our God. I thank you that the garden of my heart, through the process of renewing my mind, I'm watching the unfolding of John 1:17. There was Moses who gave the law, but you, precious Jesus, have come to me personally with grace and truth, and everything has changed. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Those that sowed financially, Father, I thank you. I don't care what they say or who's abused it or who wants to criticize it or call it prosperity gospel. I thank you that those who sowed what they didn't have towards these missionaries and others, Father, I thank you that your eye is on that seed, that you are the Lord of the harvest, that we can awake every day and water it with worship and praise and trust, knowing that your word does not return void. Father, God, I thank you for a supernatural financial harvest with your people as we trust you. For what purpose? To be a blessing. I thank you, Father, for harvest of souls, not just as a church, but individually as we get bold about this garden that is flourishing in you. And I got to stop right there. I feel like I could go on for another hour. I'm way over time. Woo, but do you love him today? Do you love him today? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you've sown, he'll see to it that it is multiplied. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Amen.